this week, we've talked with people from different communities around the country and some of the leading national voices working to end homelessness. While there's no singular solution that will work for all faces of homelessness, the nexus of all solutions seems to be housing, to which Jennifer Ho would add first. She is the Senior Advisor for Housing and Services to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, Development Secretary Julian Castro. A Housing First approach is the bedrock of all the strategies to end homelessness that her department is advancing. Jennifer Ho is now on the line with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Good to talk to you. Now, Hawaii seems to be on the track to meet that functional zero target for veteran homelessness. Chronic homelessness, not so much. Getting a semblance of reliable data on youth homelessness is tough. Even HUD acknowledges that youth homelessness is a hidden problem. And then there's that bedrock challenge of not enough low-income rentals for everyone in Hawaii who would need one, let alone the current homeless but working individuals and families whose homelessness is rooted in economics. So as you are now looking at Hawaii through the HUD lens, do you measure or how are you measuring Hawaii's progress in terms of the federal initiative Opening Doors?
Well, first of all, you have a great grasp of both the challenges and the solutions. I appreciate all of the homework you've done and all the coverage that you've provided this week.
Thank you.
You know, ultimately, the solution to homelessness is a long-term and effective affordable housing strategy. And, you know, that's something that takes commitment over time from all levels of government. We have some tools that we at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, can bring to the table to help finance affordable housing, but it really needs to be policy that's driven at the state level, at the city level, and you need to have developers and communities that value having homes for everyone. You know, what I have seen when I have been on Oahu is an incredible amount of development that has occurred. You know, the skyline is bigger than ever before, it seems. And yet, there has not been a deliberate strategy to make sure that a certain percentage of all units that are developed are affordable to people with people who are working a minimum wage job or people who have fallen hard times. And that's really where we need to see the policy shift happen. To have that long-term commitment, you can't put up housing overnight. You can't change the texture overnight. But it needs to be embedded in all of the development strategies that are happening across all the islands.
Looking at how that would be embedded also means there has to be an incentive to embed. What kind of incentive do you think needs to happen, given your deep knowledge of Hawaii and how it has been shifting and changing over the many years that you know Hawaii?
A couple of things seem really clear to me, that that everybody who lives in Hawaii needs a place that they can afford to live. And what happens when people don't, sometimes it makes sense for families to double up and triple up and quadruple up. I've seen that with some of my own relatives. But we also just need an opportunity for people to be able to, you know, start a family and get a home of their own. But you talk about the incentives. I mean, nothing could be a bigger incentive to want to create more housing than the negative effects of what happens when there isn't a place that everybody can afford to live. And, I mean, you see that downtown. You see that, on the beaches. You see that in Chinatown. I mean, people need to confront the day-to-day reality of what happens with the homelessness problem when we avoid setting a policy direction to create more housing. And, the positive effects are really, that people who have jobs, people who are working, people who have disabilities, people who can't work, for them to be, members of a community as everybody is, and to be able to live alongside their fellow neighbors, that true aloha spirit that is Hawaiian. And yet that has broken down. And I think that what happens when people walk past people who are experiencing homelessness every day is that our sense of family, our sense of community begins to break down as well. And in communities that have had a strong commitment to affordable housing development over time, you know, you have vibrant neighborhoods where, you know, people who are millionaires, you know, live alongside of people who are, you know, working in the working in the hotels. And it's, you know, we're all neighbors. It's possible to create communities where we can all live side by side.
Jennifer Ho, when you talk about those negative aspects that should be enough to be able to say we want a different vision, clearly, though, from everything you just described, we're not getting that here, because we do walk through all the areas and see the people who are out on the streets and all the luxury development happening simultaneously. Clearly, something more has to happen. Do you see something that's really missing from this equation that would drive a lot more affordable housing at the levels we're talking about, low-income rentals, that isn't happening now and a way to get there?
Well, first, I want to say that I really admire the political courage that the governor and the mayor, the steps that they've taken to be willing to say this is a problem that we need a solution to. And we need to work together, and we need to have everybody around the table in order to craft solutions that are going to work over the long term. So I am hopeful that with the governor's new task force and new leadership, commitment of some of his senior staff, but also the mayor and the governor working together, I don't know that that's ever happened in this way in Hawaii before. So I'm very hopeful that type of political leadership at all levels, supported by the federal government, is the beginning of a new strategy that has both a short-term and a long-term component. A part of that is going to mean that the state and the city need to take a look at all of the tools that they have for the creation of housing, and think about whether those tools are being as strategically focused on getting more affordable and supportive housing created at a magnitude that can reverse the trend and ultimately solve the problem there.
Okay.
And it really does require taking a look at every single financing tool and figuring out how could we use this tool towards this long-term end. And that's going to require the legislature, that's going to require the city council. It's going to require everybody working together towards a long-term solution.
A couple of things from our discussions with all of Hawaii's mayors over this week. Housing First seems to have some real mixed buy-in, even with the Big Island's Mayor Billy Kanoi, who we talked with yesterday, who was full of goodwill for Housing First and said he supported it. But much of his narrative seemed to say that, you know, he has thoughts in other directions. Is Housing First really well understood in Hawaii by those who believe homelessness, and especially chronic homelessness, needs to have people in it who are, you know, housing ready before they get housed? So what would you tell them?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to meet with a lot of the providers on Oahu, at least when I was there, and then I did a phone call with some of the providers on the other islands after I got back last winter. And what I would say is that everybody has now gotten that's the federal direction. That's the policy that we're saying is game-changing. But I don't think that everybody has been willing to give it a serious try. And, you know, I think that a couple things. One is that all of the evidence on Housing First interventions is that it is incredibly successful at helping people, even who have been on the streets the longest, who have the most complexities in their lives, helping them not only stabilize in housing, but that housing becomes a platform for them making other improvements in their life. And there's just an overwhelming amount of evidence to that effect, which is why it is the centerpiece of the federal plan. But it means that providers need to really examine why they're doing the work and their mission. You know, if their primary mission is drug treatment and rehabilitation, not that everybody deserves a home, then it might be harder for them to make this shift to Housing First that says, you know, we need to get somebody in an apartment first, and then they have the space to be able to contemplate other changes in their lives. if that's not at the mission of an organization, that everybody deserves a home, then it's going to be a harder transition for them to make. I also think that what we've seen in communities across the country is that when a couple providers are willing to make the change, and I know that the state is funding a Housing First initiative that I think really has all the right elements to it, at least based on what I've heard, when a couple providers begin to embrace the change and do Housing First, there really is, it becomes harder and harder for people to deny how effective it is. Because what you will see is that individuals who maybe failed out of traditional treatment programs or failed out of traditional transitional housing programs or couldn't get in to those programs actually begin to succeed and flourish in homes with the right supports and make significant changes in their life. And when you see the results, it makes it harder to deny that that's a shift that has the ability to affect change. If everybody in Hawaii just keeps doing what they'll always do, then you're going to get the same result that you've seen there over the course of the last decade, that the problem just gets worse and worse, and the programs don't have the capacity to meet the needs of the people that you need to serve.
Jennifer Ho, in a moment we're going to have to leave you, but before we do, having just said all of that and also looking at the various pots of money that come into play, one of the HUD strategies is to, you know, fully engage and leverage mainstream housing assistance, reading from your website. That includes the Home Investment Partnerships Program and the Community Development Block Grants. Now, this week, there have been alerts from community agencies over the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Bill, which, among other things, funds those Community Development Block Grants and the Home Investment Partnership Programs. Are you concerned that now that it's with the Senate Committee on Appropriations, that that might get really sliced and really impact our ability to provide even more housing here?
Absolutely. The Home Investment Program is one of the best engines for the creation of affordable housing that we have, and communities love it because it's a tool that allows them to really fill the gaps when they're putting together the financing for the creation of affordable housing. What we're seeing in Congress is that both the House and the Senate have proposed really draconian cuts to those programs, and we know that that's a tool that, that you need. So I hope that folks are educating the congressional delegation. I've had an opportunity to meet with many of them, and I know that that they are strong supporters of the federal financing that's needed to help spur the creation of more affordable housing. You know, we also have the work that the public housing agencies are doing. You know, there are other parts. We have many tools in our toolkit to do this, but yes, it does all start with Congress giving us the appropriations that we need so that we can pass it along to you, so that folks in the community can create the housing that we need.
And the bottom line to this is really centering on the Housing First model, and it's everything that happens and flows from that, but it's really going to be a paradigm shift that I hear you saying that's going to be needed to make that happen and to be able to scale it with all the pots of money that might be available to do that. I wish we had more time. We'll talk to you more, I hope, in future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Jennifer Lamaliho is the Senior Advisor for Housing and Services to U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro. She manages the department's work to connect housing with health and social services and homelessness, define the housing needs of an aging America and individuals with disabilities. She shepherded the development of Opening Doors, the nation's first ever comprehensive federal plan to prevent and end homelessness.